This is SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Matt Harab.
All right, welcome back in. Matt Harab, Jose Partida with you here on SB Nation Radio. Let's get back into the NFL, a team that really made out this week and just in the offseason in general, the Los Angeles Rams. Joe McAtee is our guest. He covers the Rams for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at 3K. Joe, thank you for the time. How are you?
Absolutely great. Thanks for the lead-in music, man. The way the last 2 weeks have gone for the Los Angeles Rams, you definitely can't tell them nothing.
You can thank my producer, Jose Partida, through the glass for that. Okay, first of all, can you describe your Twitter handle, at 3K?
Well, I'm an Andre 3000 fan. I'm an Outkast fan. It's an old name. I know I'm dating myself here. That is not a little Uzi Vert kind of reference, but I was a 3000 fan, and I was listening to Outkast at the time when we started the site more than a decade ago.
Hey, Joe, this is Jose. That's really cool because my original Twitter handle, Instagram handle, was Pepe3K, obviously, this for the same reason, Andre 3000 of Outkast. So that's pretty cool.
I got to just say that Jose, I'm not a big rap guy, and I was asking Jose about Outkast. I know you guys are going to laugh at me because I didn't know who Outkast was. And Jose was laughing at me because I literally had no idea. That is not my world. But at 3K, okay. I want to ask you this about the Los Angeles Rams. If I were to say, describe Sean McVay in one word, what would you say?
Undefined. I mean, he's only been a head coach for 1 year. As successful as they were in 2017, his entire career is ahead of him, much like Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald even. These are guys that have come out to, you know, considerable success, but we're talking about a really, really small sample size. So as exciting as, you know, Sean McVay is, I saw the University of Georgia is having their coaching clinic coming up in a couple weeks, and, you know, I saw a promo today that featured, come see the best in the business, and they got Sean McVay on the cover. The same conference has Bill Belichick at the conference. That tells you how big the hype is behind Sean McVay. And as big as it is, I think when we talk about his career, we're going to be talking about the seasons to come and not what's happened to this point.
What was the hype like at the beginning of the year when the Rams first got to Los Angeles? Can you talk about I would imagine there was just a huge increase in terms of the popularity of the team within the city. Because it wasn't a given that Los Angeles was going to get behind this team.
And they did. I mean, overall, you know, I wouldn't say that Los Angeles got behind the team. I think they were excited to see the NFL back in Los Angeles. Remember, the Rams got there in 2016. Chargers got there in 2017. So now you've got two teams in this market, along with UCLA and USC. And we saw some attendance issues down the stretch in that last year for Jeff Fisher, the Rams' first year in L.A., that kind of plagued them early on, even while McVay was getting the team going. But I think there was a skepticism and kind of a, you know, the fans needed to see something on the field. They weren't going to buy into the hype, especially because they've been hyped up for the last 14 years while the Rams continue to put together losing seasons. It wasn't until really the Rams got some key victories in the middle of the season that you could say, okay, something seriously is going on here and it's worth paying attention to. And that's when we really saw Los Angeles show out for the Rams, especially in the playoffs.
Joe McAtee is our guest, a reporter for the Los Angeles Rams for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at 3K. Joe, what was the biggest problem with that Jeff Fisher coaching staff? Was it Jeff Fisher himself, or was it just the offense in general? Why did that not work? Why did we see such a huge change in Jared Goff?
I think it was just hubris and a commitment to not changing, kind of that overconfidence. You know, Jeff Fisher had 5 years to really figure things out. That's a long time. You don't get coaches that lose for 4 years and then get a contract extension. The obvious asterisk there being that Jeff Fisher had history relocating a franchise when the Oilers moved to Tennessee, and it's really hard to discount how important that was to the franchise moving the Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles. But in terms of the football, I think the biggest problem was that he couldn't get outside influencers to come in and fix what was wrong, especially on the offensive side. When he fired Brian Schottenheimer as offensive coordinator, he couldn't find anybody that really wanted to take the job, and he had to promote from within, moving Frank Signetti to offensive coordinator, and when that failed, he had to promote Rob Boris as tight ends coach. He just couldn't find anybody that was willing to come in from the outside and try something new. That's exactly what Sean McVay did, and you saw the result.
Wow, so it sounds like that we're not placing all the blame necessarily on Jeff Fisher. We're placing it on just circumstance, in your opinion.
Well, I mean, it's a coaching staff, right? I mean, it takes more than one person to oversee the development of talent. And when you've got the, I think 2017 showed the Rams have a lot of talent on the roster, whether it's Goff and Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, and even some of the guys they were able to coax out of that secondary. They had talent on the roster, but they just weren't able to get it done. And I think if you're putting it solely on Jeff Fisher and not the other people that were involved in that coaching staff, I just think that's a bit unfair.
How much trouble do you think the Chargers are going to be in this year if they don't make significant steps forward when it comes to their fan base? Because we saw at the beginning of the year, they started out 0-4, and the road teams literally had more fans than the Chargers did. Do you think that it's really important this year for the Chargers to take a step forward when it comes to attendance and just the comparatively with the Rams?
Absolutely, especially because the Rams were so successful. You know, going into 2017, I thought they might be on somewhat equal footing. Obviously, the Rams' history in Los Angeles gave them a leg up, but you're talking about 24 years where there was no NFL football team in LA, and because of the transient population there, you had a ton of people that were coming to this saying, okay, I'm open to whoever is going to deliver, and the Rams clearly delivered in a big way when that door was open, and the Chargers just didn't. So if the Rams come back in and have another successful season and the Chargers don't, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to really carve out space in a market where you're already talking about the Lakers, the Dodgers, college sports, entertainment. Yeah. There's no need to really force the Chargers into the discussion. And if they don't get a way to make themselves relevant, I think it's going to be really hard for them to attract the attention beyond just the occasional headline.
Yeah, without a doubt. Joe McAtee is our guest, SB Nation reporter for the Los Angeles Rams. Follow him on Twitter at 3K. Okay, let's talk about the deals that went down this not only this week, but last week as well. Marcus Peters and bringing in Aqib Talib. Did this all come out of left field, or was it just thought around the Rams and the media there that they needed to upgrade at cornerback? Did you see any of this coming?
Not in terms of these moves. I thought they would wait until free agency and the draft, but certainly they had a need there. They're moving on from Trumaine Johnson, who they had franchise tagged 2 years in a row, and they just weren't committed to giving him a long-term deal. And Kayvon Webster, their number two cornerback, suffered an Achilles injury late in the season. So they definitely had a need at the position to upgrade. But I don't know anybody that thought that Marcus Peters, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, would be available for as cheap as he was. And even Aqib Talib for, you know, not having to give up significant draft compensation. I think it was just a fifth-round pick. So they've gone ahead and brought in two really talented cornerbacks. They even signed Sam Shields, a former Pro Bowler with the Green Bay Packers, who's coming out of a temporary retirement due to concussions. And they've still got free agency in the draft in front of them. So there was a need there, but they went ahead and hit some really, really big boom or bust opportunities leading into free agency. I think it's pretty impressive.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, I am a New York Giants fan. What do I need to know about Alec Ogletree, and why did that move have to take place from a Rams point of view?
So that one's a little bit different than the cornerbacks. I think what you're looking at from the cornerbacks is they're looking at shoring up a need because they're in a win-now mode and the window's open. The Alec Ogletree move and the Robert Quinn trade to Miami, I think, was more about just clearing off salary cap space because they're going to have to give a record-breaking deal to Aaron Donald to be able to keep him. He's 2 years younger than Ndamukong Suh was in 2015 when they gave him that deal. And it's not that Alec Ogletree's a bad player. He was incredibly productive, especially as an outside linebacker when they drafted him. But they recast him as an inside linebacker in Jeff Fisher's last year, and they held him there in Wade Phillips' new 3-4 defense, and it just didn't work. He's not physical enough. He's not a great tackler, but he's incredibly athletic. If you're looking for a guy that can move sideline to sideline, play the pass really well, especially in zone coverage, he can be really successful. There's a reason the Rams gave him that contract, and I think he's got a good chance to earn it with you guys.
Yeah, Joe McAtee is our guest, SB Nation reporter for the Los Angeles Rams. Follow him on Twitter at 3K. Joe, is this team, in your opinion, as you now look at the entire landscape of the NFC, obviously, I think Philadelphia is still the favorite to come out of the NFC, but as you look at the rest of the teams, are the Rams the next best in the NFC?
I think that if I were betting, I might put my money there. The problem is the NFC competitive balance is so even. Yet we saw five of the six teams in the playoffs for the NFC were weren't in the playoffs 2 years ago. So you've had 11 teams in this conference that have been to the playoffs in the last 2 years. You got teams like Seattle, Dallas, Green Bay that didn't make the playoffs. There's just so much parity in this conference. Even if the Rams are second, it's not as if there's a huge drop-off because you've got some great competition. Rams went up to Minnesota and had them tied 7-7 after three quarters. They had a back-and-forth game against Philadelphia and L.A. It's really making for an incredibly competitive and incredibly entertaining landscape for the NFC this year.
Is it fair to say that this new Sean McVay system, I mean, I look at guys, the wide receivers, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, guys who you would never have heard of if it were they were playing on the Rams this year. Like, they are basically, to me, I mean, the NFC version of the New England Patriots. Like, they make wide receivers we don't know. They make their name. Is that more of a credit to Sean McVay? Like, just how big of an influence is this Sean McVay influence? Is it him? Is it the quarterback coach? Like, why did this offense get so good all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think it's the combination of Sean McVay and his offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, who's now the offensive coordinator with the Titans. They really created an oversimplified system because Jared Goff had struggled to such a ridiculous degree in his rookie year. He went 0-7. The numbers in terms of his passing yards and passer rating were just absolutely abysmal, and he was really struggling. So I think they simplified things to be able to create spaces on the field where Goff could look at and say, okay, where's the competitive advantage? If it's going to be this receiver in the flat, it doesn't matter if it's Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, or Sammy Watkins. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm going to beat this advantage because that's where the defense is weakest. And so they were able to take advantage of that and hit guys like Kupp and hit guys like Robert Woods and even take advantage of some spaces that Josh Reynolds, a fourth-round rookie, was able to get late in the season. And that's really what Todd Gurley thrived in, was working off of that passing system. And obviously with his athleticism and what he brought to the receiving game this year, put up a near MVP season, won Offensive Player of the Year. It really was a year for the system to thrive. What's going to be interesting is whether or not the Rams lose Sammy Watkins, how they approach it in 2018, and if they want to add some complexity to that as Jared Goff continues to mature.
Joe, I wish I had more time. That was great. Joe McAtee, our guest, SB Nation reporter for the Los Angeles Rams. Follow him on Twitter at 3K. Go listen to some Outkast, Joe.
Absolutely. I always will. Thanks, man.